Well, after that set of readings, I think it's rather evident the theme this weekend is vocation. And it's the church has put so much in front of us in just these three readings, it's hard to choose which one of them do you go to. And I've chosen the second reading to meditate on vocation, vocare, the Latin, to call. Each one of us has a call on our lives. And we think of vocations to the priesthood. We think of vocations to religious sisterhood, to become a nun. We think of vocation to marriage. We think of all kinds of ways God can call us. He can call us to a certain vocation within a vocation, maybe a certain job. I was just talking with someone yesterday at the funeral home, and they considered their job to be a call from God. And I said, I could understand that. I wouldn't want to wake up every day and do your job. God would need to call me to that in order for me to do that. So call, vocation. And to talk about a vocation today in particular, we also need to talk about some of the obstacles to vocation, because obviously we're in a vocation shortage. Shortage of priests. I don't know how many religious sisters you know walking around that are very young. They're getting more and more difficult to find. But also the vocation of marriage. We have a lot of young people not wanting to just go through a ritual. When we can do it, just move down the block into the house together and we'll live together. All right, that's not necessarily a vocation, because Christ has to enter into vocation. Call. It's a call from Christ. So we're in a vocation shortage. So we do need to talk also about maybe some of the blocks in the way of vocation. But whatever your call in life, the fundamental call we are all receiving from Christ is the call to salvation. That is the call. Your vocation gives that call a particular form so that your way to salvation becomes either marriage or it becomes a priesthood or religious life. It's your way to being saved. Now, to be saved, what does that mean? Well, you and I, we took out from ourselves a long, long time ago something we can't put back in. And the most evident thing we took out was life. And the evidence of that is there's many cemeteries peppering the entire world right now with dead bodies. We took that out of ourselves. And we can't put it back in. I can't put straight in you what is crooked when it's crooked in me. And there's no scientist that's ever going to put straight in you and I what is also crooked in them. And that's death. We're not going to do it. It's kind of like saying, let's go to this nutritionist, this physical therapist who's going to all help us lose weight in the new year. And this person walks in and they weigh 675 pounds. Now, I'm not trying to knock anybody that might be overweight. I happen to be someone who's in that category myself. But you get the point. Would you trust someone like that to help you lose weight? I think we like to choose people that are actually effective at what they do. Well, we're not effective when you're dead at putting in what we took out a long time ago. And that's life. Eternal. That's what salvation is. Well, guess what? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, put back into us when he became incarnate, which is not ours to fix. And that's life eternal. That's what salvation is. It's life without end. We can't put that in. Our bodies die. They will. That's a fact. So the most fundamental call is salvation. Now, let's talk then about some of the obstacles that get in the way of us entering upon that path leading us to salvation. You'll recognize this one as soon as I read it from the Bible. You are not your own. You have been purchased at a price. You are not your own. Josephine's going to be baptized today. Jesus comes to Josephine and says, "You are mine. Because I'm going to put into you, Josephine, what your ancestors took out a long time ago. Everlasting life. My body, my choice." I mean, that's the most obvious example in the culture of saying no to Christ. My body, my choice. But there's a lot of different varieties of that, one of which is, no one's going to tell me how to live. No one's going to tell me how to live my life in the body. Forget that. I'm going to live as I want, however I want, whenever I want, the way I want. And guess what? In the end, Jesus is kind and merciful. He'll let me in. Everybody's getting in because he's so nice. Really? I'm not the judge. I'm not. But if you believe that, try this one too, because right now, I'm going to tell you right now, quit your job, every one of you. Quit your job. Stop working. Stay at home all day. Do whatever you want. Doesn't matter. You want to sleep in till noon, stay till 2, 4, get up in the night, do what you want in the body. It doesn't matter. You're going to win the lottery. Why should you waste your time going to work when you're going to win the lottery and become rich? You're just wasting your time going to work every day. Do you want to throw the dice like that and say, you are not your own, and then say, but I can live any way I want in the body because Jesus is kind in the end. He'll let me in. Really? I'm not the judge. But I'm telling you, if you read the Bible, that doesn't really follow. It doesn't follow. My discernment as a priest, as I look back on it, now at the time I wasn't into this reading quite like I am now, but I understand it now. The question I had in facing celibate chastity as the possibility for me as a priest was, is Jesus going to give me away at the altar, since I belong to him, or is he going to keep me for himself in the body? That's the discernment of celibate chastity. Is Jesus, I belong to him in body, soul, and spirit. Since I am his and not my own, why? Because I've been purchased at a great price. Is he going to give me away at the altar? Or keep me for himself? I eventually answered that question. It wasn't easy, especially when you're 20. No, it's not easy. That's a hard question to answer. And it turns out he kept me for himself. Now, I'm not saying that everyone here who hasn't yet found a spouse, Jesus is keeping you for himself. But I do want to say this, and I used to call the students out at this at the university. We had this program called the Priestly Discernment Program, and this will point to a second obstacle to vocation. And these were young men, I think you had to be 20 to get into it at least. But they're college age, and they dedicate themselves to live life as though they're going to be priests, because that's the best way in the body to understand, is he calling me to this? Well, is it possible? Or am I just flaming up and I can't stop and I gotta, or is this actually possible? You've got to live it in the body. And these men, I used to call the students on this. They'd look at these men walking across campus like, look at these guys. They're 20 and they're living celibate. And I used to call the students on this. I said, now wait a minute here. You're oohing and aahing because they're celibate. Well, what are you doing? Are you promiscuous? Last time I checked, none of us had a waiver on the gospel. If you're not married, you're celibate. Why do you ooh and goggle at these men? Oh, I don't like that, Father Dan. Well, in the body, you're saying no to Christ then. You're saying no. Let your yes mean yes, your no mean no. Can we honestly begin to talk about celibate chastity with a young man who's been entering the bridal chamber since the age of 12 or 13 or 14? I think it's possible, but boy, that's a tough one. That's tough. That's hard to do. But see, here's the other thing. If I, as a 12 or a 13 or 14, or let's even go later into high school, I start giving my body to people casually, entering the bridal chamber outside of marriage, if I do that casually, by what logic are we going to think that there's going to be a button I push that when I go to the altar, I'm going to be able to do this permanently until death do us part? When I've had this bad formation of giving myself away casually from a very young age. I'm not saying it's impossible again. Christ, he doesn't come to bless our wounds, he comes to heal them. But there's a lot of these wounds that are self-inflicted. If I have been formed to casually enter the bridal chamber, by what logic do I think at some later point, just by one quick decision, I'm going to enter that bridal chamber with all kinds of till death do us part commitment? It's bad formation. It's not good formation. At least not if you're in for the long haul. Are you in for the long haul? 70 or 80, if you're strong, and then what? I'm going to win the lottery. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm still a Catholic, and I can live as I want in the body. It doesn't matter. Well, I'm here to tell you, Jesus takes the body much more seriously than that. So seriously, in fact, that he didn't just throw it away and say, oh, this is a mess. Look at the mess they made of this. I mean, they're killing each other. They're taking the life of the body from each other. They're going off into all these cultic sexual activities and worshiping idols and doing all this crazy stuff. Let's just throw the body away and I'll save their souls. That's what I'm going to salvage. No, he didn't do that. He came among us in the body and ministered the medicine we needed to heal. And to put in what we took out, which is life everlasting. Life everlasting, brothers and sisters. Life everlasting. It matters how we live in the body. And Jesus, he doesn't just come to bless our wounds. He comes to heal them. And some of those wounds go deep within our person when it comes to the sexual area. They do. He heals He doesn't just bless. He heals. He became incarnate. He ministered the medicine. So glorify God in your body. There's your call, and there's your vocation. And I'll just end with this, because when I live my life in the body as I please, it's really about me and what I want. And what we come to here at this altar is body given, blood outpoured. Now notice, that is the medicine for body, all about me, what I want, what I can get for myself. I'm going to get it. It's kind of a body that is centered on itself. It's not given. I'm taking for myself things to my body. And the grace of Christ comes to us in this Eucharist to heal that in us. And notice what he is. Body given. First to the Father, and by the Father's expressed will to you. And there is healing. The Eucharist is ministering to every one of us in the body. At this Eucharist today, Jesus comes into full communion with you in the body to help you become body given. First to the Father, and then for your neighbor. First to the Father, then in my case at least, to my neighbor, which is several billion Catholics to serve. That's my way to salvation. Or my body at 12 belongs to the Father until Jesus gives me away to one person at the altar, which renders me celibate to every other human being that exists, and my service to this one person becomes my way to be saved. Wow. That's a covenant. And brothers and sisters, that's a vocation. And Jesus comes to minister the medicine from this altar for each one of us to become body given. And I don't know, maybe blood outpoured if I become a martyr. I don't know. I hope not. But if he calls me to it, the grace will be there. But we become given, brothers and sisters. We become a gift. And brothers and sisters, that's what a vocation is. Our life becomes given with Christ for the life of the world. And that means with him, the body is for the Lord. The Lord is for the body. And that means he's putting in what we took out. And that's everlasting life.